Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Today, if you are with us watching on Facebook, or if you received invitation through social media and you're visiting today, I want to, before Val's video starts, really introduce her. And before the video starts, she's going to come up and wave at you and then sit down in a minute during the video. But we created a video piece so that she could tell the story of what's happened to her and be able to a little bit better contain her emotion. And she wanted to keep all of her energy for sharing her life message that she carries in her heart, since she's experienced the faithfulness of God in a really great way. So as she prepares to come, I want to tell you a little bit about this lady. She's really given her life and her work to honor the Lord Jesus. Valerie's been a woman of prayer ever since the earliest days that I've known her. She's among our longest standing church members in the house today, because we were still in the house a mile south of here when she came to join us, and she immediately volunteered to be the church secretary and help us be organized. Now, in those days, we didn't have social media. In the old house, we had rotary phones. Now, the house was built in the 40s. The church didn't start in the 40s, but my house wasn't very modern. But she'd sit on that rotary phone much of Friday and Saturday, calling people, as did a number of other folks, to invite them to what we called Go Group, which was the younger half of the church, and then Sunday service, and then we added Wednesday service. Val, along with, in those days, a number of young adults, had a great deal to do with evangelizing our area. We had a lot of bonfires and hayrack rides and dinners and went to movies, anything we could figure out to do in East Central Illinois that was at least reasonably innocent and wholesome, we would go and do that. We had to invent things to do. And we evangelized the area by getting together and having a love and a care for one another. A love and a concern that people would come to know Christ Jesus the way we did. And I would say that Miss Val has always been one of our most evangelistic people from her heart. If I were to sum up something that would describe her life, she always wants people to see Jesus. I've heard her say that literally 1,000 times since I've known her. As Val comes in a minute, we've prayed today that she has the free flow and ease that the Holy Spirit works through her. But she's going to be on video for the first half. But I want you to come up here, because we're going to do something very scriptural this morning. And she didn't know this was coming, but, and I'm not even going to make you say anything right now. But scripture says that there are people in the work of God that are worthy of double honor. So rather than do this when she starts to speak, she'll want quiet when she begins to speak. I'd like you to, in honor of God's servant, stand and give her a good hand clap this morning. For your service to the Lord, for your service to this church, and to the many people you've blessed. That was appropriate. I know what she's going to tell me after the service. She said, now, the glory is supposed to go to God. It did. Yes. Yes. But honor goes to people who deserve it. So with that, I think we're ready for Val's video to begin. And as soon as it's over, she's going to have a segue to come up and minister to you and talk to you. And at the end of the service, pray with many. If you've not ever experienced a prayer with Miss Val and you feel compelled today, that would be the Lord telling you it's worth your while. All right?
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
incident happened on February 20th, and a little bit about that morning. And I don't remember this. There's some stuff I do not remember. I had called Pastor Doug and Lucinda and told them I wasn't feeling well. I was having a hard time breathing, and I wanted to know if I could come in later. And they said yes, because I wanted to do a nebulizer. And then in the process of I don't know how many minutes, I was thinking, I've got to go to work. I got to get up and go to work. And so I came out here in a hurry, and everybody knows my love of Diet Mountain Dew. So I had to thought, I need to go to get the mail and go get me a Diet Mountain Dew from the gas station. And so that's what I did, was go up to the post office and then went out to the gas station and got the Diet Mountain Dew that I wanted. And on my way out to my car, when I got there, I was like, oh, I forgot something. I need to go back in. Well, at that time, I started not being able to breathe, and dealing with asthma, I just had my rescue inhaler, and I kept pumping it, and it wasn't helping. I saw three gentlemen walking across the parking lot, and I said, help, I can't breathe, and that is about all that I remember at that moment, what had happened. One thing I do want to say, if I wouldn't have come out here to work, this would have been a very different situation. Or if I would have come out to work and not left the building, it would have been a very different. I'd be with Jesus up in heaven. And so they called 911, and I believe the first one on to come to me was Ralph Denno from RTD Auto. He is on the rescue. And he said that I was coherent enough. I was telling them that I had been on prednisone and just kind of talking, and I'd be drifting in and out of consciousness. And the paramedics got there. And one thing that, in looking at my medical records, when you see the words unresponsive on your medical records, and that's how they found me. And they, if I'm understanding it right, they had prepped me for needing to be shocked and doing the CPR and everything. I arrived at the Gibson City Hospital emergency room, and I was having, they said that I was unresponsive, and I don't know about very much here, but it says upon arrival, patient was in tachyphenic, and her breathing was, which meant my breathing was, my respiratories were abnormal, they were very deep, and it's like gasping for air, and that's what I was doing. I was very, very, very serious, and I was unresponsive to any of the commands that they were giving me at the emergency room. Like I say, when I first looked at the medical records and you see the word unresponsive, I'm just so thankful to be here. Words cannot describe how I feel after seeing that word unresponsive through my medical records. But I realized that through all of this, that God is good. He's faithful. He wasn't done with me yet, else I wouldn't be here, you know. He still had plans for me. They, according to the records, my kidneys were shutting down. My heart was in a very bad condition, and all the tests indicated everything was off the charts, and it was really, really bad. I coded three times. What it means to be coded is my heart stopped, and they had to give me CPR, and they had to, you know, like pound on my chest, however they, you know, however they do that. My heart actually stopped three times. And I know that I was given epinephrine in the emergency room, and that's supposed to help, you know, with your heart, start your heart back up. And if the doses in that, the way I'm understanding it, if it's not given to you right, it can fry your brain, it can do a lot of major medical damage. And I didn't have anything. And I'm just praising God and thanking Him for that. And talking to my sister, Katana, she said that when the doctor met her in the emergency room outside, she knew it was bad. And evidently he told her, I do not know if she's gonna make it. We can't keep her. So they got me stabilized, and then I was transferred to Carl. But at this time, I just wanna thank the Roberts Rescue and the Roberts Fire Department, the Village of Roberts, and everybody that assisted me here in Roberts. I'd like to thank the Buckley Ambulance and the drivers and the techs and everybody that was involved with me that day. Also, I want to thank the Gibson City Hospital Emergency Room, the doctors and the nurses and the techs, everybody that had anything to do with me. Excellent care. They're amazing. They are amazing. And I'm just very thankful and grateful that they were there for me that day. I'm just very, very thankful. Anyway, so I guess I rode in the ambulance to Carl, and they indicated on my medical records everything that happened at Gibson, and they said I, of course, had coded 3 times and indicated all of that. And what else I found out through looking through Carl's records is I had 2 viruses that were attacking my respiratory system, and they were called a parainfluenza virus 3, and the other one was a coronavirus, which both of those they said was likely caused my respiratory arrest. And so because of these viruses, then when I was in the hospital, after they found out that I had them, I was tested. People were coming into my room. They had to be masked. They had to be clothed because they are very infectious and contagious. So I was in the emergency room, and then I went up to intensive care at Carl. And they had to intubate me. And on February 20th, I was intubated. And then on that following Saturday is when I woke up. When I woke up, the first person I saw was Pastor Doug. And he just looked at me and said, oh, I'm so glad to see your beautiful face, you know? And it was just so amazing that he was there, and I could see that my family was off to the left, different family members. My brother Kim was right by me on this side of me. And I'm sure there was probably maybe some other church people there, but I can't remember. I just know that my family was there and Pastor Doug. And so, you know, they go and they get the doctors, and everybody comes in and asking me questions and squeeze and do this and everything was fine, you know, but I was still intubated. And it's a shock when you wake up and you can't talk or anything, and you've got that in the ventilator in you. And so anyway, so it was on the following day. It was on that Sunday, I believe. I could be, every day went, just was going from one day to the other. All the hours were just running together. And they took my tube out. They took the intubate tube out. And when they took it out, I was just having a hard time coughing. I couldn't swallow, and so they had put in inserted a feeding tube, you know, and that was very uncomfortable. And having not to be able to put anything in your mouth, you don't know how uncomfortable that is. And, you know, the irritation of being intubated for that many days and everything. It was, you know, just a difficult situation. So I praise God, I was able to get out of intensive care. So right now at this time, I just want to thank the Carle Hospital Emergency Department for all the work that they did on me, and the intensive care department, the staff, the nurses. They were just, when I was awake and alert, they were just amazing and just very attentive and very gentle and good. And they were looked out for me, and they just made sure that I was comfortable and everything. And so I'm just so thankful for Gibson Hospital and Carle Hospital. And I just want to thank them publicly and let them know, you know, how thankful I am. I went to what they call a step down unit. And from the intensive care. And I, of course, I was still having difficulty swallowing. And I could only what they call sip, swish, and spit, you know, water or ice cubes or whatever. And I'm just going to throw in this little funny side note here. Everybody knows my love of Diet Mountain Dew. So there was this one nurse in an evening, and I got this great idea. You know, I wrote down what I wanted, you know, or talked in a hoarse voice what I wanted. And I said, can you get me a Diet Mountain Dew? And I promise I will just sip it, swish it, and spit it out. And he looked at me and goes, no. And I was like, oh, come on, I promise, I promise. And he got to laughing so hard. And my sister-in-law, Sarita, was there with me, and she was just laughing and everything. So every time he came into the room, I would go, oh, Diet Mountain Dew time. And he was like, no, no. And so it was really kind of funny. It got to the point where when he would come in my room, he'd stop and he goes, I do not have a Diet Mountain Dew. And I said, okay. And his name was Steve. And I said, that's okay, I forgive you, you know. But I thought everybody liked to have that little funny side note. I was, Diet Mountain Dew, come on, I'll just spit it, swish it, and spit it, and everything. And so, anyway, but I'm just so appreciative for even that department, the step down unit. They were awesome, amazing. And they call them patient techs, I believe, were just very reassuring and just making sure that I was comfortable and everything. You know, you're there, laying there, you can't do anything for yourself. And it's a very humbling experience, having not been able to do anything for yourself. But the nurses were wonderful, and the techs, and even the ones that had to come up from, have to draw blood, or the ones that came up from the department that I had to have like a, they had to give me like a swallow test. I had to go down and have one of those and different things. And they watched where everything, what was the matter. And I did not pass it. And so anyway, I was like, So anyway, but I got to the step down unit. And when I got in there, that is when they decided to take a look at my heart, because they were like, okay, we understand the viruses that were attacking your respiratory system, but they wanted to make sure, why did my heart stop? So I had to go to the catheterization unit and have a stent put in, because I had one artery that was like 90% blocked. And I remember that day being wheeled down there, and the one nurse that was prepping me, she was so funny, and she just, you know, made it, you know, all joyful. And when they do that to you, you're still kind of, you know, you can still kind of comprehend and hear. And just to hear, yes, they were working, but still, it was a room that was filled with a lot of joy. And so anyway, they were, I just want to thank them, the physician that did the catheterization and the stent for me, and all of the nurses and the techs in that department. They were amazing. I was a little afraid, you know, but when they made it so joyful and just everything, it was just so peaceful then. Well, after that, then of course you go up to a special floor cardiac care unit. And I believe that is where I was starting to really understand the seriousness of what happened, and I think it kind of scared me. You know, I know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but when you're in that situation, you know, it's kind of hard to maybe not think or be afraid. But so that's where I think I was probably maybe a little tougher of a patient, because I was like, there was times where I pressed that nurse button thing and they wouldn't come, and I was like, where are they, you know. But I wasn't the only patient they had, but they were all so wonderful. I just, you know, there again, I can't express thanks enough for the cardiac care unit, the nurses and the techs. During that time, I had to have ear, nose, and throat. I had to have them look down into my vocal cord area and the larynx and figure out what was going on. There was nothing the matter there. I did have a little gap in my vocal cords, and that was what was causing me to be very hoarse. I could not make the letter E sound, and it was very hoarse, and so it just needed to heal. That's what I was believing, because, you know, doctors will tell you, well, it could not come back. I'm thinking to myself, in Jesus' name, no, it's coming back. And praise God, I got this voice for the kingdom of God here. Since I was not able to swallow, and the one that was they had put in me originally, it was very irritating. And one night in my sleep, and I don't even know why I did this, I pulled it out. I did not, you know. And so that's when we decided I wanted to have another feeding tube put in, where, I don't know, that's in the department where they put it directly in your stomach, and then that way I was able to get nutrition and everything. So I left that unit and Carl Hospital on my birthday, March 7th. And I'm thinking, oh, what a great way to spend your birthday. But then I thought, praise God, I'm getting out of the hospital and going to the next step. So my next step was to Paxton, to the Accolade on Pels, healthcare's place on Pels. And that was on March 7th. And I arrived in different surroundings, and I'm like, oh goodness, you know, wow. And the funny thing about it is that the nurse that checked me in, her name was Valerie. And so I thought, that's cool. But my first night there, it was very uncomfortable for me, very uncomfortable. And I just did not sleep well at all. I just did not. And finally the next day, therapy came in and talked with me and evaluated me and everything. And I was just evaluated by them. And then that was on my birthday. I think that was on Friday. I think my birthday was on a Friday, March 7th. I can't remember. Whatever. The next day, speech therapy came. The lady came and started talking to me and wanting, you know, to know and everything. And then the following week, I started going down to the therapy, speech therapy department. She would come and get me, and I'd go down there. And I was given exercises to help with swallowing, and I was doing those. And they're really hard, and I'm like, how can people do these? And she was like, yeah, that one right there is really kind of difficult for people to do. But she was wonderful, wonderful, this speech therapist was. And she worked with me. And I saw speech therapy 5 days a week. 5 days a week. I was in physical therapy and occupational therapy 7 days a week. And they have an awesome, amazing therapy department there at the Accolade on Pels. They're just amazing. And they did not take no for an answer. It's like, no, you can't, I can't do this. Yes, you can, you will do it. But yet they were very sensitive. Now, if this is too painful or too hard, let me know. If you've got to sit down, you know, let us know. And so, through all of that, they were just very encouraging. And the nurses that I had were just absolutely amazing. And it was, you know, like I said, that one was named Valerie. And I was like, all right, you know. But I did not realize, I guess, how bad I was. And they kept telling me, you were very, very bad. And you're still not quite. And they were very concerned with me. And I got a room right next to the nurse's station. They put me close to the nurse's station, and which I was very thankful, you know, that I was very close there. But every nurse on the shift, morning, afternoon, late night, was just so attentive, and they would come in and they'd make sure I was feeling okay. And the CNAs were, oh, all that they have to do. I mean, there's just not me. There's all these other people that were worse off than what I was. And they just really work and work and work. And I think somebody needs to give one of them a pedometer and see exactly how many steps that they make, you know. So, but I got to know the staff really well. And the nurses and the CNAs and the therapy and the speech therapist, it was just amazing. I feel like they're part of my family now because I got to know them so well. And they're just amazing. I have a newfound respect for nurses and CNAs, whether it's in a hospital or a nursing home. They work tirelessly, you know. So anyway, I got to go on, I think it was March 22nd, during this time before that, I was given, the first thing I got to eat, actually swallow, you guys are gonna think this is cute. The speech therapist came in and she goes, I got something for you. And she plopped down a snack pack, sugar-free vanilla pudding. And I go, what's this for? And she goes, you're gonna eat it today. And I'm like, what? And she gave me a spoon. She said, now take small bites. Oh, that first bite was just like heaven. I was like, oh, this tastes so good. And I ate the whole thing. I ate the whole thing. And anyway, I was like, oh, wow. She was just really nice. And then I remember one time getting to eat a biscuit with sausage gravy. And she put a little milk on it so it wasn't so dry. I got to eat that, and I go, I get to eat that because I love sausage and biscuits and gravy, you know. So I got to eat that, and it was just wonderful. And I remember one day, too, I got to have a big blueberry muffin. And of course, eating all of that stuff with all that carbohydrates and sugar did not go very well with my blood sugar, because my blood sugar had been off the charts. And so every time I ate something like that, it was like, they had to give me insulin. I'm like, what? Anyway, and I'm like, this is not fair. So anyway, so after I was able to swallow really good and do things, I was able to eat what they call, they pureed my food. And that, I'll never forget the first time I got to go down and sit in the dining room and got to actually eat my food in front of me. It was like everything that I needed prayer for while I was in there. My feet had started, my feet were swollen, and my leg, I wanted that to come down. I wanted to leave that nursing home without the feeding tube and everything that I had people pray for and agree with me. I got to leave with that. So I went on March 22nd and had my new evaluation for swallowing. And those ladies in that department, I don't know what the special name of that department is, but they were hilarious. And I'm like, I gotta eat this. Does it taste good? You know, and things. And so they monitored and watched me swallow. And I passed it. I passed it. I was like, praise God, I passed it. And so my sister Cassandra went with me, and we rode the van back, and we had to leave before I could eat lunch. So when I got back to the nursing home, I was like, can you go to Hardee's and get me a plain double burger with nothing on it? And they didn't have Diet Mountain Dew, so I settled for a Diet Dr. Pepper. So she went and got that for me, and I was eating that. I took, of course, being carbohydrates, I just ate the patties, the burgers, and I was eating them one little piece at a time. I was savoring that Diet Dr. Pepper. I was like, oh, this is so good. So anyway, so I was like, praise the Lord, I can eat food, I can swallow, and everything. But I just want to give a big shout out to Accolade Healthcare on Pels of Paxton, and for all of the nurses on the West Wing and the CNAs. They're part of my family now. I pray for them. I pray for you. I pray for all of them. And I feel just a special bond with them. And the administrative staff, the therapy department, they're amazing. If you need any help and need therapy in any way, that is a good place to go. They know what they're doing. And I'm just so thankful for them and just everybody there. It was amazing for my stay when I first got there, not wanting to be there. I really didn't want to be there. And here's another little side funny thing. Evidently, I texted Janice Erbright and I said, get me out of here now. I don't even know why I texted her. She said she responded, now Valerie, you're in the right place. She said, you're where you need to be to get better and everything. And evidently I must have calmed down, but I don't even remember doing that. I'm sorry, people, I don't remember doing that. But anyway, praise God. I see all of them, the nurses and the CNA and the therapy department and the staff there. I see them through the eyes of Jesus. They were Jesus to me. They were Jesus' hands and feet to me because I needed them. And they got me well as everybody at Carl and everybody at Gibson. They have been given a God-given gift to make people well and to help people through times of crisis. And when I left there, at the nursing home, it was on April 4th, I believe that's the date. It was a Thursday in April. And when I left there, I got so many hugs from the CNAs and the nurses. And I had one nurse tell me that she goes, well, I'm glad I'm not going to be here tomorrow. And I looked at her like, why? And she said, because I don't want to see you go. And it just really made me feel just welcomed and just loved. And I cried. I'm glad I'm out of there, but I cried because they're part of my family now. And I left there and I needed a place to go because all of this time while I was in the hospital, nursing home, it was found that my house had mold in it. Ed and Tammy Kendrick had talked with me and said that my house had mold. So all of that remodel had to be done, and I did not know where I was going to go. I was like, what am I going to do, Lord? Where am I going to go? And I just prayed, okay, God, you've got it. You got it. You know it. And Lucinda had made a call to me and said, what about going over and staying with Sarah Bechtold in Fairbury? And I was like, I could do that. She's got an extra room. And so she has graciously opened up her home for me. And I have been there since April 5th, the beginning of April. I'm still there. But while I was over there, I needed to get outpatient therapy. And so I went to, on that, it was Monday, April 8th, I had my first consult with ATI in Fairbury. And I met with Jordan, and they tested me and gave me all the evaluation, and they scheduled me for two times a week, basically on Mondays and Thursdays from like 1:30 to 2:30. They're amazing. They were amazing. And it was just, it was wonderful to be having them work with me and get me on track and help me build endurance and strength. It was always a joy going in there. You know, it wasn't a downer place to work. They all had smiles on their faces, and they were just amazing there. Jordan was working with another person that had come in, and this other, I would say, therapist in training was working there, and he was having me do stuff, and I must have been looking at him like, what? Because I have never done this before. Like, why are you doing it? And Jordan across the room goes, don't shoot the messenger. I told him to do this for you, you know, to up your exercises and do some new ones. And I must have looked at him like, okay, you know, but it's like, I've never done these before. Are you sure? So it was a fun atmosphere, even though you're working and making yourself better, and they knew what to do. Praise God for ATI over in Fairbury and for the God-given gifts that are in them. It's neat to see how people are stepping into the gifts that God has given them, the passion that they have, whether it's in the medical field or what. It's amazing to see how people do that. And I'm just totally amazed at the medical industry, what they can do, and how they can help people. And I'm just very, very thankful to be alive. And God's not done with me yet. And when I was in the nursing home, I kept thinking, I want to go back to Guatemala. I want to go back to Guatemala. And it's like, you know, I got to go back to Guatemala. And I know that Maria kept in touch with the pastors down there that I have spoken to and in several churches. And they just called every day to want to know the update on me. And they were praying for me down there. And I'm just very, very, very appreciative to that. And it's wonderful to have, even though I'm here in the United States and they're in a foreign country, they can still pray for me, and there's no distance in the spirit. And I know that there were other churches praying for me, because Dave and Melanie Allen had told me that their church in Florida and another church in Georgia was praying for me. And I know there's different people that Pastor Devin's church in Kentucky, and just all the churches, and even the village people here in town, the village of Roberts, the different ones were praying. I've seen them out and about, and they're like, oh, we prayed for you. I prayed for you. I'm so glad. It's so glad to see you. And I'm just very, very thankful to be here. And I know that God's not done with me yet. I still have a purpose and a plan for my life. And one thing He has shared with me is that I'm really bolder in a lot of things. And in a little bit, you will get to hear what God spoke to me, my heart, while I was in the hospital. Sorry. Am I on okay? Okay. Great. I'm sorry it took a little long, but I had a lot to share. I've had a lot of you ask what had happened, and a lot of that I did not know myself until I got my medical records. I'm just really thankful and praising God and giving Him all the glory that I'm be able to stand here in front of you today. It's because of Him that I can do this. I just want to say, saying thank you to all of you does not seem good enough, does not seem enough. I want to thank Pastor Doug and Lucinda for over the years teaching us as a church body how to pray, how to stand in the gap for somebody, because you are looking at a living testimony of God's goodness and His miracle-working power and the faith-filled standing in the gap prayers of all of you. I love you so much. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And like I say, just saying thank you doesn't seem like it's enough. But I do appreciate every one of you. And I thank you. And I'm so glad to be able to be standing in front of you and talking today. I want to thank you also for your sacrifice of obedience and giving to the areas where you gave, whether it was to help me meet my deductible or to help something for my house. I've been hearing stories of different ones have been doing this, spending time, volunteering their time. You're going to have a new living room set. And somebody was talking to me about that a while back. And I'm just so thankful for you guys. I'm thankful. I had to put a little humor in that video because it was kind of tough doing it. But thank you, Pastor Josh and Marcus, for videoing it for me. I want to thank everybody that took the time to visit me in the hospital, at the nursing home, took time to pray for me, send me cards. I had a whole great big stack of cards. I think I got cards from some of you 3 and 4 times. And it was just great to see and to see the expression, especially on the nursing home staff, whenever they would come in with a pile of cards. Boy, look at all this mail you got today. So it was just wonderful for all of you guys. And I'm very, very appreciative. I'd like to take this time right now to thank Ralph Denno and RTD Auto for your work and for your just being there on the spot, Ralph. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'd like to thank Ed and Tammy Kendrick and the crew that worked with them, but Ed and Tammy were the ones that kind of spearheaded my house. Thank you very much. I'd like to also, so I can publicly thank this gentleman. I don't know who he is, but his name is Don Wolf, and he was a consult. Did some consulting on my house, and I'm just very thankful for all the help on my house, and whether you worked in the house, in the yard, my backyard, I drove by, I got to drive by, and not been allowed to be inside my house yet until it's all done, but I got to drive by, take a look at my yard, and just wonderful, amazing, thank you very much. I'd like to thank Tammy Kendrick, Tiffany Phillips, I know she's not here today, and Dee Shove. Wow, what an office team you are. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you.
This time I just want to thank my family. They're all sitting over there. Words cannot express how much I love you guys. And I'm so appreciative. And I know you sacrifice spending time and staying at the hospital with me, visiting me and making sure I was taken care of. I just love you guys so much. I have the best siblings, Cassandra and Bob, Kim and Sarita, and Katana and Todd. You are the best a girl could ask for. My nephew Trent and his wife Lindsay, and their two little girls, Cora and Riley. My nephew Cameron and his wife Barb, and my nephew Cyrus. I love you all. Tisha and Jamie, they're down in Missouri, and Tanner and Chesney. I love you all very much. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know you guys all made sacrifices for me, and I appreciate it very much. Well, today, I'm humbled to stand before you, and I want to thank Pastor Doug and Lucinda for giving me this opportunity. Appreciate it very much. When I was in the hospital, it just kept coming to me that there's a parable in the Bible where there's Jesus is preaching at a house and it's all crowded and there's no way you can get in. Every doorway's blocked. But there were these men and they brought a sick friend and he was on the stretcher. And they couldn't get in. So you know what they did? They knew they had to take him to Jesus. They cut a hole in the roof and dropped him down. That's what you guys did for me. You took me to Jesus in your prayers. And you dropped me and laid me in front of him and so he could be healed. And that's what you all did for me. The stand in the gap, faith-filled prayers is what you all did for me. Now, those of you that are visiting today, I want to let you know, if you go to a church and they do not pray for you like this, you don't have a relationship with them like that, they don't pray with you like that, you need to find a church that does. Because when it comes time for a crisis, you're going to want everybody praying for you. Faith-filled, stand-in-the-gap prayers. And so if you don't have a home church, you're more than welcome here. We'd love to have you. Because a church that's alive is worth the drive. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In 15th chapter of John, it talks about greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends, and that's what you guys all did for me. You laid your life down in prayer. You spent time praying. I heard how some of you were praying. You were calling me back. You were like, no, Jesus, it's not time for her to go. We need her here. Bring her back. And a lot of them were praying that way and spent all night praying, and that's a love that is so great, an unconditional act of love, and you guys did that for me. And I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Ephesians, in the 6th chapter, the Message Bible, one of the translations says that we're to pray hard and long. That we're to pray for your brothers and sisters. You're to keep your eyes open and keep each other's spirits up so know that no one falls behind or drops out. That's what you did for me. You stood in the gap for me. You prayed. And like I say, I am a living testimony of God's goodness and your faith-filled stand-in-the-gap prayers. Amen. I'm standing here before you today because of you. I give all the glory to God. I thank God every day. He gets all the glory. I'm just so thankful and appreciative that I'm here and I can share my testimony and I can speak to you guys. And he's, like I said in that video, he's not done with me yet. He still has something he wants me to do. And he has something for each and every one of you, whether you're individual, families. God's got big plans for all of you families. No good thing does he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? Don't you agree? Another thing that was really impressed upon my heart while I was in the hospital was God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I was laying in bed and there was a wall over there and a little board, and Miss Lucinda wrote it on the one board in the step-down unit for me, and then my friend Debbie wrote it on the other board in the cardiac care unit, and I kept that all before me. God is good. The world needs to know God is good. He didn't do this to me. He didn't do this to me. The devil tried to take me out. God is good. The word of God says in Psalms that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says in Acts that he went around, Jesus went around doing good. It says when they announced his birth, his arrival, it says, good, I bring you good news. The gospel is the good news, and we have that gospel in us to take it out to the world. And that's what we need to be doing. We have a good God. He's not a bad God. He's a good God. And that's what I want to get across to you today. It says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus spoke that. He wants us to have that abundant life. So whatever you're going through, it's not God. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And it's contrary to what the world believes today. They're trying to take all this bad stuff that happens and blame it on God. Well, that's not right. God has nothing. God's a good God. God is a good God. He didn't put any of this on me. He doesn't put sickness, disease, anything on you. He's a good God. God is good, and I want us to get that today, get a hold of that today, that we serve a good God. The last thing I want to talk to you about, and I'm sorry it's kind of taken a little bit long. The video was a little long. When they got done filming me, I said, well, how long was it? They said it was about 30 minutes. I have 30 minutes, and I'm like, we got an ice cream sundae bar waiting for everybody out there. Everybody wants me to hurry up. So I want to talk lastly about faithfulness and commitment. It talks in Galatians, the fifth chapter, the fruits of the Spirit. One of them is faithfulness. And Pastor Doug shared a little bit about early years, the early years. All as I know is when I got saved, I made that decision on October 9th of 1982. When I got saved, I said, God, I'll do anything and everything that you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll commit my life to you. That's what I've done for the last 36, 37 years. I've committed my life to him. Because he looks at faithfulness. He looks at commitment. And he's looking at that at all of us. How faithful are we? How committed are we? Not necessarily just to maybe Living Word Church, but to serving God. To fulfilling his purpose in our lives. And his purpose in this king, on this world. Are we, like we say here all the time, we take Jesus out, bring people in. Are we really doing that? If we were really doing that, we'd have three services on a Sunday. So we've got to start taking Jesus out and bringing people in. For those of you visiting today and online, that is one of the things that we say here. We take Jesus out, the love of Jesus out, and we bring people back in to meet him so they can accept him and have that personal relationship with him. That's what we do. One other thing that Jesus spoke to me while I was in the hospital was no more excuses. I was like, okay, no more excuses. I'm really trying to serve you. I think I'm pretty faithful and committed. And, you know, there's areas in my life I need to be more committed and faithful. But when I got saved, I lived in Bloomington. And I would come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. I never missed, unless I was sick. But 99% of the time, I would be here on Wednesdays and Sundays. Bloomington's like about an hour away. Is that right? It's about an hour away. And I would come every Wednesday, and I would be here every Sunday. I just didn't have the idea or possibility of me missing, never even crossed my mind. And we didn't even have Facebook Live back then. You know, that was kind of in the Stone Ages. But anyway, I just want to get it across to you that God is looking for a greater commitment, a greater faithfulness. Pastor Paul's been talking about on Wednesday nights, raising the standard. We all have to raise the standard. We all do. No matter in our lives, where we're at, whatever we do, we have to raise the standard. God is looking at us and wanting us. It's time. Be committed. Be faithful. Do this for me. Do that for me. Don't worry about yourself. Don't think I can't do it. He's equipped us. He's equipped us. Huh? He's equipped me. I grew up in Thawville, town of 200, 250, I think, at the most. Some out in the boonies. And look, I'm standing here today in front of you. Never ever would have thought of that. But it's because I decided in my heart I would be faithful and I would be committed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I would serve God with a whole heart. And I know a lot of you that I'm looking at out here are faithful and committed. You're doing stuff. But check your heart. He might want you to do something more, like come on a Wednesday night to a service. Our Wednesday night services need to be packed. We get good teaching on Wednesday night. Very good teaching. It's Bible college teaching here on Wednesday nights that we get. We have a pastor that spends hours and hours in prayer and before the Lord to bring the word of God here to us as a church body so that we can take that word and we can go out and we can bring people in. God is a good God and he wants to use every one of us. When we lay hands on the sick, we know that they will recover. Whatever we put our hand to for him will prosper. No good thing does he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And in him we live and move and have our being. He's our everything. He needs to be forefront in us. Forefront. We need to keep him forefront. And I just want to go a little further. May I go a little further? This is so on my heart, people. So on my heart. That I guess I realized it when I was in the nursing home and had to watch you guys online. I'm like, that isn't cutting it. That's not like being here in the midst of all of you. Because let me tell you, Marlene, has something to give to the body of Christ. Tyler and Paige, you have something for the body of Christ. When we come to church, we need to be so ready. And God, use me. I've got something. I know you want to use me. What do I have? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to minister to? We need each other. There's that corporate unity that needs to come. And when you miss, there's a big part missing, because what if you were to sit in the fourth row back, the third chair over, and the person sitting in the fourth chair over needed something that you had that day? That's the way we need to look at it when we come to church. We have something to offer. It's just not, oh, come to church, Pastor Doug, feed me, you know, praise and worship team, help me get fired up here. You know, it's not like that. We come to church to be used of God, because we've got something. For each one of us has something in us for somebody else. We just need to know that we're important. You're important. And elder prayer. We meet once a month on the first Tuesday of the month, right? Brian and Denise Plennert are our head elders, and it's elder-led. We meet once a month. And one of the anointings that is on this church is prayer. And one thing that welled up on the inside of me when I was at the hospital was, there's no reason why our elder prayer time cannot be more well attended. Just take that extra step. Take up the standard. Get it up. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. It might not be the easiest for you to get here. You might have to come directly from work and come on a Wednesday night and not go home. Sometimes if you go home, you get to the point where, oh, I'm going to relax. I'll just sit down for a few minutes here and relax. Whoops, pretty soon you fall asleep, and then it's 8 o'clock, and church is already over. You missed it. I just want to encourage you. Every time the church doors are open, you need to be here. You just need to be here. There's no more excuses. No more excuses. We have an awesome Sunday school department for every age. Clear down to the little bitty ones, clear up to the adults. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, every one of those classes should be full. Wednesday nights, we should have full crowd. Our youth group, what an awesome youth group we have. Leaders over our youth group. It's amazing. It's amazing. And once a month, we have, on a Sunday, a young adult youth-led service here. And you want to see something that is totally amazing and that is a miracle. See these young kids on fire for God, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for their lives. And they're speaking life into their friends and bringing their friends to Christ. So, if you have kids, teenagers, you need to be here on Wednesday nights. You need to be here. It's time. It's time. And if you're visiting today, like I say, you have a church already, go back and be totally involved. Give 110% to your pastor. Go to your pastor and say, how can I help you? What do you need? But if you don't have a church and you want to get involved, we're awesome here. We are awesome. Like I say, a church that's alive is worth the drive. God is just so good. And just remember that you have the light of Jesus on the inside of you. That in I think it's 1 Peter, it talks about we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, the light in me is going to affect if anybody has darkness in them. You know, if they're struggling, if you're struggling with something, there's been many times where somebody has come to my mind and I started praying for them and I've called them and they said, we needed it. It's right exactly what we need. See, that's how God wants to use us. But that's how God wants to use us when you come into the church building. You spent time in prayer. You're ready to minister up unto the Lord, but you're also ready to give a word of encouragement to somebody that needs it. Because every one of us need a word of encouragement at times. We just do. So I want to encourage you. It's time to take the next step up in being more faithful, more committed, and being here, being sold out. How many of you have kids? Raise your hands if you have kids. Well, do you like it if your kids only give you 90%? Or do you want 100% from them? I would think you'd want 100%. That's all Jesus is asking from us, is 100%. He wants our faithfulness and our commitment. He's a good God. He's not going to give you anything that you can't handle. He's a good God because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish. God loves you. Say that. God loves me. Yes, God loves me. And we are all important to the plan of God. We're corporately united here to the plan of God for this church. He needs us. Whether you're working in the nursery, whether you're working in the children's department, whether you're up here leading praise and worship, whether you're working in food service, whatever you're doing, God needs you. We're all needed together. We're all a part of the piece of the puzzle. A puzzle isn't complete with one piece missing. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We're all needed. We need one another. And we just have to rise up above any obstacle that would keep us from doing what God has for us to do in this ministry. Rise up. Get involved. Nursery. We need nursery workers. We need Sunday school teachers. We need help in our food service. Like, that's what we've been talking about, being more committed over these last few services. Commitment and faithfulness. Get involved. There's blessing in your life when you serve. There is. I can attest to it. You'll be blessed as you serve the Lord and as you serve this body. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. And I just want to give him praise, honor, and glory. And it's fun. It's fun to serve the Lord. It's fun. It's not a hassle. It's not a hardship. Like I said, I gave my life to Jesus, it was October 9th of 1982, and I haven't looked back. I don't want to look back. I love it. I love serving Jesus. I know he's got my footsteps ordered, and just here recently, this little kink in the road didn't stop me. But it didn't stop me because of your prayers and the faithfulness and goodness of God. Hallelujah. If I've asked the praise and worship team to sing a song as we close the service, but as they're coming up, there's a few things that I wanna talk about. Talk about being committed to the Lord. The first step to be committed to the Lord is, if you would die tomorrow, do you really know you would go to heaven? Do you really know? It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, we'll be saved. I want every eye and head bowed, eye closed today, right now. And if you can tell me that you don't know where you would spend eternity, if you would just raise your hand, we're going to all pray. Just raise your hand if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. He wants us all in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. If you can't remember a date when you did that, today's your day. Today is the day for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I confess today with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe in my heart, Father God, that you raised him from the dead. I repent of my sins, and I know now that I'm going to heaven and I am saved. Another thing that we want to do today is, if you've done that, when it gets time for the altar ministry here, come up and just let us know. Just let us know. You've made the most important decision in your life. You've committed your life to Jesus. Now, the next thing is if you want that power from on high, like they talk about in Acts, endued with power. Jesus says, I don't leave you alone. I give you a Holy Spirit to be your comforter. If you want that power from on high, today's your day. You'll be able to come forward here in the altar and receive that Holy Spirit baptism. He wants us all. We need to give him our all. Don't hold anything back today. Today is your day of salvation. Today is the day for you to receive that power on high, from on high. He's there waiting. He's waiting. He's bidding you, come, come to me. The next thing I want to talk about is, if you're dealing with a sickness or a disease, sometimes that'll hold you back from being fully committed to the Lord. Because you're like, I don't think I can do that. I don't feel good. I don't feel like I can do it. I've got this that's wrong with me. Well, today's your day. You can get free. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, he who excuse me. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It talks about in 1 Peter 2:24 that we are healed. It talks in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, it talks, heal, Lord, and I will be healed. He died on the cross for your healing as well. He endured those 39 stripes, but they also pierced his side and out came blood and water. You're dealing with any type of physical symptoms, today is your day to get free of that, so nothing is holding you back from being fully committed to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Then the last thing I want to talk about is, if you want to be more committed, fully committed to Jesus, fully sold out, some of you as families need to come and get prayed for that. It's time. It's the day and the hour that we live in. He wants our commitment. He wants our 100%. He wants it. He's waiting for that 100%. He's waiting on us. We don't need to wait on him. He's waiting on us to do. He's waiting on us to give our 110%. And it's not hard. It's not hard. You just need to make the sacrifice. Just need to make a sacrifice and be obedient. In the middle of that word obedient are the letters D-I-E. And that means die. Sometimes you got to die to ourselves to fully commit. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. He does that a lot to me. He tries to make me so busy. But it's time to get rid of the busyness. It's time to be sold out, fully committed to Jesus Christ like never before. And then watch what's going to happen in your life. Watch what's going to happen at Living Word Church Watch what's going to happen in this region. Watch how our state will change. Watch how our nation will change. Watch how other nations will change. We become fully committed. Oh, the glory of God will surely rest upon this place, and it will be evident here. But it takes us taking that step of being fully committed to the Lord. And it may be just a little correction. Sure, I'll come to church on Wednesday nights. I know it's a sacrifice. I know I live 40 minutes away. I tell you, living in Fairbury versus living in Roberts, I know what it's like driving. It's like you gotta plan and prepare ahead of time. You gotta leave early. But that time, that drive from Fairbury to here, Marlene, you come from Frankfort, Illinois, clear way up north. Just think of the time that you can spend in the presence of the Lord. Put on that praise and worship music. That's what I used to do when I drove all the way from Bloomington. Listen to praise and worship music. I would pray. I'd be so ready to get in the presence of the Lord. And I just knew that He had something for me. I just knew it. It was an exciting time. You'll be excited. You'll walk in those doors, re-energized, revigorized, just abounding with so much joy that nothing will be able to stop you for doing for His kingdom. So, if today was your day of salvation, if you didn't raise your hand, but you said that prayer that we prayed for the first time, hallelujah, that's great. And if you want the evidence of the power of God in your life, and if you want healing, if I could have the ones that I've asked to pray for the service, come up and just line the altar here. If you need those, want to pray for in those areas, hallelujah, come to these couples. They are mighty, mighty prayer warriors for the kingdom of God. And when they pray, they mean business. Devils have to flee. They're bold when they pray. So as they're singing the song, if everybody would just stand up, I've asked them to sing this song about the goodness of God. But if you want prayer, or you want to be, Valerie, I just need to be more faithful. I need to be committed more. I need to be more sold out. I will pray for you. That's been a burden in my heart for so many years, how that we need to just totally be sold out. When, just think, when you were dating, you were totally sold out to that woman, weren't you, Ed? Totally sold out. Brian and Denise, yes, yes. Curtin D, I know, of course, yes. They're still totally sold out to one another. Hallelujah. But that's the way Jesus wants. He wants us back. He wants to be back His first love. He wants to be first in every area of our lives. So, thank you. You can sing. If you need prayer, come up. Come quickly. We're not a church that doesn't believe in prayer. We know there's power in prayer. Come quickly.
And I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I you happy.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.